Let me start out with a very spiritual question. You know that's not true, right? All right. Anybody had brushes with fame? Someone who's kind of famous, right? You guys ever had that? Okay. You like when I ask this question because you've always wanted to tell someone about it. So who's had a brush with fame? Someone who's famous, they had a conversation with them, they met them. Raise your hand. All right. Okay, so you brave people who've had a brush with fame, give me a couple names. This is your chance. Who was it? Who? Tyler Campo. It's kind of questionable on that one. What else? Who? Kevin Klein. Who else? Justin Bieber. All right. Who? Shaquille O'Neal. Eric Carter. Give us one more good one. A real good one. Some of you shy person. Give me the one you've seen. Who? Colin Powell. Yeah. Ooh. All right. The Queen of England. Oh, there we go. Top that one, would you? I tell you what. Isn't it funny about how you like to say that? There's something about when you've met somebody, you just can't keep it from talking about. You mean someone who has some importance, even if you don't have high respect for them, they're famous, like, wow, you know? I met Susan Ford, the President of the United States' daughter, and spent time with her. And if you've been around this church, you've heard that. Because I get it out and like, hey, by the way, I know Susan Ford, yeah. There's something about someone who's has power. We just even to meet them, it means a lot. I love it when you see, Make a Wish Foundation, where they have this. They have somebody say, "I'd love to see so and so, this star basketball player," where it comes into the room and the kid just lights up. You know, just great. Just to meet somebody. Think about who would you like to meet. It's a figure of history. You're in church, so your name is Jesus. But that's not what I'm talking about. He's actually still alive. We're not going to have past figures of history. They're not living. By the way, they've done this ranking poll that ranks everything from, you can imagine, from cheese sandwiches to people, whatever it is. And there's this one website, and millions of people have put their, who is the most person they would love to meet in person? Jesus tops it way above everybody else, right? You know, as I think about that, I'm like, wouldn't it be fun to meet different people, and just to meet them, figure out what's going on in Van Gogh's head, you know, just have a conversation with him, or figure out, you know, talk to Albert Einstein and try to figure out what he was saying. And just, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, would it be cool, right? So we understand that there's some power when you're connected, or even to meet somebody who has influence. And so today, what we're going to be talking about is we're celebrating Jesus, this person of Jesus, who over 2,000 years ago rose from the dead. Now, we're here, and many of you say, I believe that. I banked my life on that. Some of you are not going to be on the spot. But for me, I personally believe it's completely true. I believe that Jesus came, and he was God in the flesh. He came, and he lived a sinless life, and he took my sin upon himself and justly paid for it with a cruel death. And because of that, I've been made right with God because he rose from the dead. I've been made right with God. I've been forgiven of my sins. And I've been restored to a relationship with God, right? I believe that with my whole heart. Now, some of you might not believe that, or you might have questions on that. And sometimes on Easter, the pastor gets up and tries to give you all the facts about how the resurrection was legitimate and valid and evidence and all the different things, which is great, right? But quite honestly, read a book about numbers of good books that you can have great understanding of the evidence of the resurrection. But I'm going to talk about something different than the facts of the resurrection. So I'm talking about the effect, right, today. You know, if you think about right now, all over the world, people are crowding in worshiping because they want to worship on Easter, the risen Christ. And those people, are people that believe it's true. Not just in a little bit, like their life, there's many of them, literally millions and millions, even into billions of people who say, I believe this to be true. I've staked my whole life on it. And so these are all different types of people from all different nations, races, stages of life, education. But there are really stable people that aren't crazy, and they say things like this: I've met Jesus. I know Jesus. In fact, he talked to me this morning. Now, you back off from that a little bit and think, wow, is that true? And that's true. Our relationship with Jesus can actually be very personable. It can be something that's deeply connected to everything that we do. And so what we see in the scripture over and over is when we have a relationship, we can have a relationship with Jesus that's not just getting to know him. We, in a kind of factual way, we can come to know him. And he can be a part of everything that we go through. Now, so we're going to talk about this whole thing of knowing Jesus. And, you know, because knowing is not this place of, you know, you learn the facts of Jesus, right? This is who Jesus was, and you learn all the facts about him. That's great. But it's this place where knowing is when your life is actually a part of his life, and you're interacting with him, that you're expressing love, and he's expressing love back, that you are a place of vulnerability, and you find out who you are, and you get to know who he is, right? And this is what, you know, knowing someone's like. It's not just cognitive. This Friday, Debbie and I celebrated our 39th year of being married, right? Now, here's what I know. It's whenever you say anything above 20 years, you have to cough. You have to, well, oh, yes. It doesn't matter. Like, 39 years. Okay, what I, oh, yeah. Yes, that's great, yeah. But I'm glad that you're glad for me. But the reality of it is my point in that is understanding, I've known Debbie for almost 43 years, right? I know Debbie, right? I know Debbie better than any human on the earth, and Debbie knows me better than any human on the earth. And what's interesting about that, you know, when we first dated, we knew the facts of each other pretty quick, even before we got married. But knowing someone's different, isn't it? It's being in life together in a place that you grow to a place of intimacy and closeness and trust, right? Now, when the Bible talks a lot that you can actually know Jesus, right? And so what people are saying, millions of people are saying, is very backed up by the Bible. You can actually know Jesus. And the word, diakonos, which I don't know if it's correct or not, but it sounds good. It's a Greek word that is to know, to come to know, recognize, perceive, especially through personal experience, firsthand acquaintance, experientially known. Even talks about, it's the word that we'd use for sexual intimacy. So as you look at that, that is not just facts, right? You know, as you understand that, think about this, to know and come to know. I love that because what that's talking about is knowing someone requires this process of engagement with the other. So you come to know that person as you trust and engage with them, right? And there's this other side of knowing is when you know someone, you just recognize them, right? Debbie could kind of pass by, would know who she was. I just feel her presence. I know who Debbie is, right? I spot her, you know, because I know her. Now, I have a problem with small children, though, because small children are so cute, and everybody else is nice to me, so I go, and they go, you know, I don't know, stranger danger, you know, and they cling on to the mom, and they cling on to the dad. Why? Because they have a knowledge. They know them. I mean, kids know their parents. That's the kind of knowing we're talking about. Now, as you look at that, then it goes on to this place. It's a firsthand acquaintance, right? It's through actually experience and experiential. So it's this place in which that it's not through somebody else. It's this direct thing, right? And then it's this place where we, you know, it's and you get to this place of, you know, intimacy. I mean, that's why it's intimacy. What it's getting at is this. When you know someone, you have the freedom to actually be exactly who you are without shame. I mean, you don't hide anything. You're safe with that person, right? Now, taking that all in, it's a pretty wild deal that we can actually know Jesus. This is the word that Paul speaks about. This is the word that it describes when Jesus describes what the relationship we can have with him is. You know, I was at a conference lately, and sometimes I hear people talking about knowing Jesus as if it's kind of like they get information that goes to them and comes out, and he talked to me, and which is great. That's part of knowing someone, right? Communication. But I had a gal that I was just at a conference with in Kansas City, and her name was Nicole, and I've been emailing her. I've talked to her on the phone. I know Nicole. I thought I knew Nicole until she walked up to me. She was nothing what I thought. She says, "I'm Nicole." I said, "No, you're not. I've imagined a whole different person than you, and I've talked to you, and I think I know you, right?" But quite honestly, I didn't know Nicole. You don't know someone until you're firsthand. You know what I'm saying? Even at slight distance, it's not God talking to us down. It's He is there with us, and we actually can know Him. Now, when we think about this place of resurrection, we're thinking often of the whole story, and many people are often talking about the grave is opened, and which I love. That's great, you know. But I'm always thinking the backstories. You know, I guess I've been a pastor long enough. I'm thinking about all the different angles on this because I've done a lot of Easters. But what I think about a lot is this: I think about the disciples. I think about the ride they were on in this whole process. Can you imagine what this would be like to be one of the disciples in this ride with Jesus? You know, they're following Him. They've trusted to greater degrees their entire life with Jesus. You know, they spent 3 years together, you know, learning from Him. If you read the Gospels, they went through this thing and that thing and conflict and powerful situations and sad situations and everything all together over these 3 years. They experienced God's power from people freed from demonic oppression and healing. And I mean, they watched it all. They learned how God uses them. They understood about the kingdom in new ways. They began just, you know, it was a ride. You know, and if you think about that, is, you know, it wasn't passing information. Do you understand that? Their relationship with Jesus was not information passing, just like a teacher, student. That was an aspect of it. But you know how you have these images of these holy people, they're up in that palace, that temple, and everybody has to get up those stairs. They find the guru, tell me one thing, short from behind, can't tell you much, got to go, and go back. That is not Jesus. You understand? Jesus is describing who God is. And Jesus was not removed. He was with the people, right? He slept with them on the floor, right? They ate together. They walked together. They struggled together. They wept together. They had arguments. All that, he was with them. Now, who likes road trips? Let me ask you a question. Who's had an amazingly good road trip? Raise your hand. Okay. Who's had an amazingly bad road trip? All right. Who wished I wouldn't even brought it up because you didn't want to think about that road trip? It was so bad, right? Your road trips are interesting. And you know why they're interesting? Because when you're actually with a person for that long, they have to be themselves eventually. which sometimes can be really good, and sometimes it can be really hard, right? I took a road trip when I was 18 out of high school, and we went 2 months with this guy I didn't know. Fortunately, it was a good road trip. We had a few touch points, but you get to know somebody when you sleep with them and see how they drive and how they eat and those habits. Oh, you know, it's all those things, right? You understand, Jesus was on a 3-year road trip. That's what it was like with these disciples. And when they had this road trip, you know, this person, Jesus, they didn't want to get off the trip. They didn't want off the trip. I mean, this is the best thing that's ever happened. Their whole life had been turned upside down. There's so excitement for the future. Their life had been changed in radical ways. God was using them. They understood who God was. They saw things through an eternal lens. All kinds of amazing stuff happened by just hanging around with Jesus. So you can imagine, put him in this position, when Jesus starts saying things like this, "I'm going to be going now." Man, it's like, really? Now, Jesus was kind enough. He loved them so much. He was trying to prepare them, but I don't think it could have prepared them because they didn't quite understand what was going on. You can look in John 13 and 14, actually 15 and 16. There's lots of, John talks a lot about how he had to prepare his disciples for him to leave. And so, you know, he starts out by saying, "I will be with you only a little longer." And you can kind of hear them go, "What?" You know, it's just like, you got to be kidding me. You know, you will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, even better, where I'm going, you cannot come. Uh-oh. I mean, you imagine what that would do to someone who had banked their whole life on this person of Jesus, And Simon Peter, of course, is the first one, Lord, where are you going? And he starts talking that with him. A little later on, Jesus replies, where I'm going, cannot follow me, but you will follow me later. And I love, and he talks about, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. But how do you get through this? You believe in God and also believe in me. But it continues on. I love it. Thomas' response was this. He says to Thomas, he says, you know the way, the place where I'm going. And Thomas says, Lord, I do not know where you're going, and I do not know how to get there. that's a real deal. Like, you got to quit talking this way. Just tell me what's going on, And then we see, and they start catching on that they know they've heard him talk about the Father. And so, Jesus says, you know the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I'm it. Just keep staying, trusting me. Like, but you're leaving, right? You can imagine that their head was spinning. And they got to a spot where they, who was it? Philip jumps in and he says, okay, you're going to the Father. Okay, if you can reveal the Father fully to us, that's enough. And he says, where you been? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's no difference, right? So as they went through that, you see them at this place where what they're thinking in their mind is like, wait a second, I'm going to lose relationship with God when he leaves. And he knows that. But what he's saying is, hang in there, because there's something different coming. You're not going to be dissatisfied when I'm leaving, even though they couldn't believe that. And he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. And I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Now you look at this and he says, okay, here's the deal. You know I'm going to the Father. As soon as I get there, I'm going to just tell him, send the advocate. And he's going to help you. So you can tell him, okay, good, I got someone to help you. It's from God, that's good. And the advocate is this place of the Holy Spirit, but that word is really a spot of someone who comes alongside, who counsels, this place of the Holy Spirit coming. And they didn't quite grasp it, but he starts saying these strange things, like you'll have the Spirit and you'll be able to see and know God, And then he goes on by saying, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come to you. And they're thinking, I thought you were leaving. Now you're coming. So they're trying to process all this. And as we look at this, they continue on as their heads are spinning. And they say, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and in you, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love you. I will love them and show myself to them. Now, as you look at this, they're still trying to put this together. And he goes on to talk about there'll be a time in which that you'll be able to see me and other people won't. Right? And there's also going to be a time that you're going to understand how me and the Father are connected in a way you don't right now. Right? And I'm going to show myself to you. You're like, well, I thought you already had. No, I'm going to show myself to you more clearly. Now, as you look at this, and who's this for? It's for whoever. It's not just talking to them. He's saying for whoever keeps my commands and shows they love me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So this is an offer saying, oh yeah, everybody will be able, who trusts me, will be able to see me. They feared this relationship because when someone leaves, the relationship changes. And so their idea is like, I don't want this to happen because I want this relationship. And he says, and he starts talking these terms of saying, no, your relationship is going to change. It's going to get much better. You know, in John 14, it says, yep, I think I'll make that right. He says, John 16, it says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good, other translations say for your benefit, that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Now, this really probably messed him up. Like, it's good that I'm leaving. Just trust me on this one here. And what happens oftentimes, what's common with even, I hear people talking about Jesus, and they say, you know, I wished I was there with him. You know, walking by the Sea of Galilee, watching the miracles, then I would know him. But I'm 2,000 years out, past 2,000 years out, I can't know him that way. You know, I can't know him that deeply. I wanted to know him like the disciples did, who had him physically in front of them. But the truth of the matter is you never heard the disciples, I've said this before, ever longing and wanting to go back to the good old days when Jesus was physically there. Do you ever hear that? You don't. Because it was so much better, right? They knew Jesus in a way after the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and the church was birthed in a way they never knew beforehand. I'm not saying it wasn't cool to hang around Jesus and be there. Oh, that'd be great, right? But if you're talking about knowing Jesus, the people in Acts, when the Holy Spirit, when they said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit filled them, at that point, they were understanding Jesus and knowing him more than the disciples did 3 days earlier. Peter, who was all over the map, when the Holy Spirit came, all of a sudden he's another person because he's seeing and knowing Jesus in a way he didn't before. You understand? Paul, who never really maybe knew Jesus at all or ever even saw him, maybe saw him a little bit but didn't interact with him, hated him. But the reality of it, he actually talks in his using this word all the time. I want to know Jesus. I know him. It's the best thing in my life. And you can tell he has this relationship with God, which is amazingly good news, right? That for us, we can actually know Jesus. I know we say that so much in Christianity, we just kind of let it go. But I'm talking about not in this way of factual information, but in a way that we actually know who he is to greater and greater degrees. And as we understand, as we get to a place in our life where we don't hide anything from him and he has access, we begin seeing who he is and recognizing who we are, and our life is transformed. It's everything. You know, I mean, really, it gets down to this. I think when the disciples started, had the Holy Spirit, I think lots of lights went on that they knew in their mind, but it sunk into their heart. You can see that in Peter. All of a sudden, he gets it. Lights come on, right? And I think what they knew a lot, I think the disciples did, is they knew that God and Jesus were actually the same thing. They were two parts of God. He was equivalent to God. And so they understood what John says, you know, if you know me, you'll know the Father as well. And this is so cool. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Now, what that means is, you can imagine, and we can do the same thing as we look at Scripture. You want to know who God is, look at Jesus and watch him interact. He's a God that sleeps on the floor with you. He doesn't stay away from you. He's the one who wants to be with you in pain. He's the one that weeps when you're weeping. He's the one who talks about, it's like the prodigal son when you come back. He's the one who loves people who are sinful and that he loves getting near them. I mean, what a wild deal. All these things that Jesus did, they start thinking, oh, Jesus stopped for the kids. Jesus loved people that I don't love. And you start understanding Jesus is God, and they begin understanding, oh my goodness, this is the God I'm worshiping. This is the Father I want to see. It's actually in Jesus. And you think of Jesus hanging on the cross, being mocked, caring about these people, weeping over people who were crucifying him, praying for those people. Man, he's for us. He just wants relationship with us. And I think they caught on to that. And I think they understood that, and I think that they realized that, you know, this means I can be who I am fully before God. And I think they just understood that at a level they couldn't have before. Now, so really, if you haven't caught on yet, this is what we're after. You need to just know, even if you know a little bit, you need to know more. If you don't know at all, I want you to know for the first time, is God wants a personal relationship with you. And I know many of you have that, but I'm just telling you, a relationship in its very form, it always increases in knowing the person. It never stops. I never got to a point I said, okay, I know God, now what's next? You know, it just doesn't work. There's more. And the more I can know who he is, the more I can get safe and transparent before him and not hiding anything, the more I'm transformed by who he is. Now, for me, I'm really grateful that I came to know Jesus at an early age. I'm grateful my parents led me, helped me know who Jesus was. They modeled it well. But the church that I grew up in was much more emphasizing meeting Jesus, right? You can meet Jesus, and you can receive his forgiveness, and then the imagery I had, which I'm not saying they said this is what I got, imagery, I met Jesus, I got my ticket to heaven, he went off to heaven somewhere, I'll meet him later, I got his teachings, I need to live by his teachings, right? And what I found is, when life started getting hard, I couldn't make it. You know, information did not protect me from sinning, and I didn't know what to do with my sin, and I didn't know, and so I got way off the rails, right? But even after I came back to Jesus, I still had this kind of model that I'm grateful for what he's done, now I want to do what I can for him, right? Which, that is a response of love, right? I do want to do that. But what I didn't really understand is that is the result of knowing Jesus. And what's so wild is Jesus wants to be with me. Everybody here, Jesus wants to be with you. And you say, yeah, as soon as I get cleaned up. No, right now, he wants to be with you in your struggle, in your doubts, in your pain, whether you're doing fantastic. He just wants to be a part of it. This is a concept that's just hard to believe. Like, okay, who would I like to be with? I like a David Stark guy. I want to, I'm the creator of the universe. I want to be around him, right? It doesn't make sense, but that's him. I mean, you look at everything in Scripture. It's like he just wants us to be who we truly are. The good, the bad, and the ugly, he just wants us to give us access to that. He wants to be with me. You know, I was at this conference and they had this phrase that said, do you know God loves you? And he says, do you know God really, really loves you? Do you know God really, really loves you? Because we have a tendency of just taking God's love as, oh yeah, it's God, he has to. No, he loves you. He wants to be near you. He wants to be in stuff with you. He loves being with you. In your brokenness, in your successes, he just loves every part of you. And the last part was, God likes you. Isn't that harder to take in sometimes? He likes being near around you. He does. And he longs for that. He gave his life so we could come to him. He's constantly saying, come to me. And the reason he wants to come to us, not, I just think, he wants me to come to him so I can get a bunch of work done for him in the kingdom here. That's part of what it is, because that's part of knowing, doing what God wants. But what he wants to do is he wants to be with me. He wants for me to know him personally. And so that's just what when we're celebrating, we are celebrating that Jesus is alive. But what it says in Scripture is, what you have to understand, because I live, you live. And what he's saying there is, there's sometimes we believe Jesus is alive and he's up in heaven. No, Jesus is alive, and it's not Jesus is alive and he's not accessible. No, Jesus is alive and now he's more accessible. He's accessible for every human being. And where do you find him? You don't find him in doing good. You find him in opening up all who you are, and then he comes into that. What an amazing thing to celebrate. So when we think about Jesus' resurrection, as we worship, and worship can come up now too, as we think about the resurrection, we sing songs about it, we're celebrating that he's alive, but understanding when he became alive, it changed everything, because now we have access. He's come in his spirit, and we have him actually indwell our hearts. And we can actually know him at the deepest level, firsthand, intimately, through experiences. right? And you guys know that. Think about the experiences you've had with God and how every time you have another experience with God, you know him in another way, right? And he has, and those experiences will never stop. Why don't you stand?